Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
A bit of a reading practice from New Scientist, 2nd of November 2019. I'm back on the directional microphone, so you won't hear all the birds squeaking around here. It was a bit of a failure in the car, so you've been spared that one. And this is an interesting thing. I'm always interested in fossils. This is by Ruby Prosser Scully. I love that as a name. Fossils show how mammals arose from dinosaurs' ashes. Okay, we'll get a bit of a lowdown on here. Some pretty impressive skulls and bits. He's a picture here. Some of the delicate fossils collected from coral bluffs in Colorado. Of course, look, America's always got everything bigger and better. The discovery of thousands of exquisitely preserved plants and animal fossils in Colorado gives an unprecedented look at life after the asteroid smash that wiped out the dinosaurs. Beautifully written sentence. We know that an asteroid hit what is now Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula about 66 million years ago, killing three-quarters of living organisms, including all the dinosaurs, except for birds. But the first million years after the mass extinction has a notoriously poor fossil record, says Tyler Lyson at Denver Museum of Nature and Science. I've been there. This is quite a good one. I've spent 15 years looking for fossils in this interval, and have only found a handful of scrappy mammal jaws, he says. That's a bit unfortunate. Fossils that were formed in that interval, rather than he was in that interval, time interval. Okay. That changed when Lyson and his colleagues, is that the same person? Yeah. Stopped hunting for naked bones and started searching for concretions, the types of rocks that can form around organic materials, including bone. Inside the concretions, they discovered thousands of fossils of plants and vertebrate animals. Quote, we're finding whole skulls, in some cases skeletons of mammals, crocodiles and turtles, says Lyson. Dating the rocks allowed them to come up with a detailed chronology of life's recovery following the asteroid collision. In the aftermath of the extinction, the most common plants were ferns. Been boring, and surviving animals weighed no more than 0.5 kilograms, i.e. lunch. But within 100,000 years, recovery was well underway. I think that people disagree with this, what they've said. I think they were giant birds almost immediately. Mammals had rebounded to almost the same size they were before the asteroid strike, which is up to 8 kilograms, and the forest had become dominated by palm trees. Within 300,000 years, there was diversity of plants in the forest was rising, and mammals grew up to 25 kilograms, the size of a dog. At 700,000-year mark, mammals had reached 50 kilograms in size. This is also the time that legumes appeared. Lyson calls this the protein bar moment, since it provided the calories needed to drive rapid growth. So legumes have nutritious nodules and produce fertilizer in their food, in their soil. So it's a lot more protein involved in a legume. When the researchers looked back to the climate record, they found these three bursts of mammal evolution seemed to coincide with temperature rises of around 5 degrees C. I'm very dubious about this. This suggests that the rise of mammals was helped along by a more tropical climate that enhanced plant growth and hence increased the food supply for animals, says Lyson. The fossil findings are now, quote, unquestionably the best record of what happened after the dinosaur extinction, he says, David Polly of Indiana University. Quote, they show the diversity of mammals and plants recovered within about 100,000 years of the event, which is a blink of an eye in geological terms. Having such a detailed picture of the way ecosystems rebounded after the last extinction event may help us predict what will happen following the mass extinction that many people think is happening now as a result of rapid climate change, says George Webb of the University of Queensland, Australia. Well, I had to get that in. I was just trying to think, gee, well, it will help us predict. Don't worry, let's go. We'll rebound afterwards. It'd be nice if dinosaurs came back again for some weird reason. It's, you know, sort of like, mammals, bloody hell, let's say. Okay, this is The Solar System by Leah Crane. Strange domes on Venus are shiny peanut butter hills, unquote. Venus's unusual domes may sparkle. Our neighbouring world is sprinkled with bulges that are several hundred metres high and appear different from the rest of the surface. And they are made of tiny crystal mush that is squeezed up from underground. Most of Venus's surface is flat, formed by lava that has flooded the land over time. Amid these relatively unremarkable lava flows sits domes with unexpectedly steep sides, i.e. little mini-Ayers rocks. Now, they have confused researchers for decades because it seems unlikely they were produced by the same volcanic process that shaped the rest of the planet, or shape may not be the word. Geoffrey Bromley and Sally Law of the University of Edinburgh, UK, have come up with a potential solution, i.e. it just wasn't poured there, bulged out, I suppose. They think the steep-sided domes are probably formed by lava that is thicker than the runny type that flooded the rest of the surface. Good on you. If you poured olive oil onto a table, you'd just flow away and run all over the table, and you'd still have a flat surface, says Bromley. If you poured something a lot thicker, like peanut butter, that would stay there and form a dome. This thicker substance could come in the form of crystal mush, similar to what makes up the landforms the researchers have studied in Cyprus, he says. The mush that formed the hills is full of green overlying those hills. Green overlying crystals of up to 1 centimetre in size. Overlying is really the central mantle. We are on a giant gemstone of overlying over a crystal ball. Those large, it's amazing that aluminium is such a large, and magnesium, such large contents, easily outweighing iron on the Earth. Those large crystals are created while the magma was still deep underground. They are then left behind when the rest of the liquid magma rises up. Okay, you can sort of see it sort of strains up through a crust because it's hotter and more buoyant than the surrounding rock, says Bromley. But when the faults rip the Earth's crust apart, the crystallized magma mush can be squeezed out like toothpaste from the tube. In Cyprus, we see these faults that allow the mush to get to the surface, and we're suggesting the same thing could happen on Venus, says Bromley. Look, I must admit, as far as I'm concerned, that's just really, I'm sure the article is more deep and Leah Crane has misinterpreted it. Aging by Jessica Hamzu. Proteins in your blood change as we get older and could guide anti-aging treatments, finds Jessica Hamzu. Could something in your blood be controlling how you age? The proteins in blood seem to undergo three waves of change as we get older. The first wave occurring while we're in our 30s. And using proteins, it is possible to determine a person's biological age from a blood sample. So biological age is like you may be 10 and look as though you're 30 because you're smoking, chain smoking. So that's biological, whereas your chronological age will be still 10. Blood proteins associated with youth could help us understand why young blood seems to rejuvenate older animals and could point to treatments of aging, says Bernard Lerner at the Stanford University in California and his colleagues. The first hints that something in blood might have a rejuvenating properties came from studies in which old and young mice were stitched together so they shared circulatory systems. The gruesome setup seemed to benefit the older animals while the health of the young ones deteriorated. Since then, other studies have found blood plasma transfusion from young animals seem to improve the multiple aspects of their health of older animals. Blood from human teenagers has also been shown to boost the birth of new brain cells and improves cognition in old mice. Well, there you go. I'd like to do that study. I get some blood from a teenager. Why are you doing that? I just want to make my mouse smarter so I can do my tax returns. Encouraged by such findings, teams are trialling, quote, young blood for age-related disorders like Alzheimer's, and for $8,000 in an unproven approach, transfusions of plasma from young donors can be bought at a clinic in California, of course. To find out what happens to our blood as we age, Liad and his colleagues looked at the proteins in blood plasma samples taken from more than 4,300 people aged between 18 and 95. The team measured the levels almost of 3,000 proteins in each sample and found the levels of almost 1,400 of these proteins seemed to change significantly as we aged. I don't know how protein changes. It's suspicious of that. At about the ages of 34, 60, and 78. Quote unquote, why you pick those things? 18, 16, let's see. Half of. What's the difference between that? Is 26. 26 and 18. Well, I just can't see anything happening in that one. Quote, the most surprising thing is that there's a change at 34, says Colin Solomon of the University of Glasgow, UK. Quote, for somebody who's well over 34, it's kind of depressing. It means that significant biological aging is already under age when we're in our 30s, says Joel Pedro Maghaze at the University of Liverpool, UK. Other researchers found that molecular changes in the brain associated with aging start to show in our 30s too, he says. Quote, you don't just turn into an old man overnight, or I suppose a woman. It's a gradual process, he says. Well, for a woman, that would be rather depressing, wouldn't it? It makes sense that some of the changes associated with aging occurs at an early age. Lorna Harries of the University of Exeter, UK, thinks the protein change might reflect subtle differences in the body's external and internal environments rather than some dramatic aging process. Plenty of people have children in their 30s, for instance. Quote, your physiology undergoes some major remodeling during pregnancy and lactations, and that might well be part of it. She says, well, it would be for me if I did that. Leila and his colleagues have used their findings to develop a proteomic clock that can guess a person's biological age based on 373 of the proteins found in their blood. The clock's estimates, which apply both to men and women, strongly correlated to the volunteer's chronological age. It was able to guess the biological age. People who were predicted to age below the chronological age performed better in physical and cognitive tests, hinting that a biologically younger than their years. I know what they mean, but it's poorly expressed. Quote, it's a potentially revolutionary study, says Salomon. The aim of much aging research is to find a way to increase the proportion of a person's life spent in good health rather than merely increase lifespan, he says. Quote, they've shown that this proteomic clock appears a good predictor of the late life health, and that's exciting. The clock could be used in clinical trials to test if anti-aging treatments are working and identify people at risk of premature aging, says Salomon, which is all your customers, obviously. Lahela's team thinks it's possible to identify specific proteins in the blood that might be responsible for rejuvenating effects. Quote, identifying proteins with plasma that promote or antagonize aging at different stages of life could lead to some more targeted therapeutics as well as preventative therapies, the team writes. You might find some of these proteins in the blood taken from the oldest participants. People in their 80s and 90s are likely to have some kind of protective factor that have kept them alive, says Harries. It's also possible that important proteins might be different in men and women. Well, of course. When Leah and his colleagues compared the protein profiles of male and female volunteers, they found the differences between two-thirds of the proteins that changed with age. Quote, really, identifying what particular proteins are important is going to be take a long time. But it's exciting research, says Sullivan. The big drive in aging research is just to fund realistic inventions to extend lifespan. And this may be a valid route. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.